This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
It's 6 o'clock and time again for Brain Matters, the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. We are broadcasting from the campus of the University of Alabama. Good evening. My name is Dr. BJ Gunther, and I'm the host of the show, along with my colleague and producer, Catherine Howell, who is out sick tonight. Hope she gets better. In case you don't know, this show is about mental and physical health issues that affect college students, and in particular, UA students. And you can listen to us each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 FM, or you can listen online at wbuafm.ua.edu. You can also download the MyTuner radio app and type in WBUAFM 90.7 and listen to the program that way live. Also, if you have any ideas for upcoming shows, please email those to me at brainmattersradio@wbuafm.ua.edu, and I will consider using your show topic idea. This is our last show for the fall semester, so we'll start back up in January with our spring shows, and we usually do, I would say, 12 to 13 shows for the semester, so I'm always needing new ideas for show topics, or sometimes old ideas that maybe we've done in the past and we need to redo. So it's always a good idea, I think, to do topics like depression, anxiety, stress, time management, test anxiety. I could go on and on. So those are always good for college students to revisit every once in a while. So if you have any ideas for show topics, send those to me. Again, it's brainmattersradio@wbuafm.ua.edu. And also, if you have any questions about the show tonight, send those to me and we'll try to answer those as best as we can. Tonight's show topic is how parents can support their students' mental health needs. And my guest is Alicia Brown. Alicia is currently serving as the interim director for parent and family programs here on campus at the University of Alabama. She says she's been the interim director since July, but she's also the director of housing administration on campus. So she is wearing several hats right now, and I know she's busy because before the show started, we were talking about how she has to talk with parents daily. And I don't have to talk with parents necessarily daily, but I can totally relate to you on that, Alicia. How are you doing? Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be with you. This is
Go ahead.
I was going to say, this is such a great topic for me, not only because of what I do professionally, but I have two daughters. One is a junior in college and one is in her first year in grad school. So some of this is not just professional or intellectual. It's very personal to me, too, and things that I've had to deal with as a parent of college students.
Yes, and I bet when parents call, I bet you have some ask if you have children because they want to know if you can relate, you know, to what they're going through, because I think it helps on some level to be able to relate and to be able to empathize since you do have two daughters yourself who are in college still, you know.
I get asked a lot. And honestly, if I'm not asked, I often go ahead and share that because I do think that gives a certain credibility or a knowledge that I have been there, and many of the issues parents raise to me are things I've dealt with too. A child whose roommate is not the great match, or who is trying to get involved on campus, or things like that, I relate to so much.
Tell the listeners about yourself, a little bit more about yourself, where you're from, your credentials, and why you're interested in this topic. You touched on it just now a little bit, but give a little more detail.
Sure. So I'm originally from Ohio. That's where I grew up. I have been at UA since 2005. Much of that time, I've worked in housing, and so much of what I do involves really interacting with parents as much or more so than with students. I've worked in the Honors College, too. There I had a little more interaction on the academic side and with students. And then since July, I have been the interim director of parent and family programs.
Do you think, I'm just going to hit you with just a very blunt question. Do you think parents come on too strong now? Do you think they're overly involved? We've had shows in the past. I think we had a show several years ago when the term, I think the term's changed now, you know, from helicopter parents. Now I'm hearing bulldozer parents. And I can't remember what the name of the show was. I think it was helicopter. But do you think parents are overly involved now?
I think that parents love their children very much and want the best for them.
Yeah.
And if I have a critique, it's that we need to help put resources in our students' hands, but not solve the problems for them.
Right.
And I agree that often a parent may address something more head on, may be able to figure it out faster, maybe quicker and more proactive in making a phone call, but that doesn't set our students up for success. So what I always say when a parent calls me and wants to talk, just for example, about doing a room change in housing, then what I will say is I would love to talk with your student, and I'll give them a call because they need to understand the process and to think through the potential options. It's really not a conversation for the parent to have. So I think what we as parents need to remember is that we can help identify resources, we can be encouraging, we can even role play a difficult conversation.
Right.
But when we solve the problem for them, it doesn't prepare them for the next challenge that's inevitably going to come up.
Boy, that's the truth. And it is hard. Sometimes it is hard to break. That's horrible to say, but I don't know any other way to word it. It's hard to break a parent because they don't see it like you just explained it sometimes. And myself as a therapist here at the counseling center, I've had to gingerly say that to parents sometimes, you know. I mean, parents often try to call here and make appointments for their student, and that's why we have the policy that your child has to call and make the appointment for him herself, because that's the first step sometimes, you know, with making appointments even.
Right.
Just something.
I think that parents have been encouraged and rewarded all through elementary school, middle school, high school, and it is hard to break that habit. And we've all been told to be active in our child's school and be an active participant. And we have the ability to talk to teachers and principals. And so there is an adjustment that comes. And so I agree that it is hard to change habits of, say, 12, 15, 18 years. But it's so important for both the parent and the student, I think, to adjust that view and begin to step back.
Definitely. How do you tell, when you're talking to a parent, do you give ideas on how to create like better communication, better ways to talk to their child?
Yeah, I certainly do if I have that opportunity. And that can involve sometimes scheduling time to talk. That's something I talk about a lot to parents before their students' freshman year, is talk about expectations. Are you going to talk once a week, which is probably rare? Are you going to talk daily? How do you want to communicate? Do you want a daily text? Do you want to schedule phone time? Because I think knowing when to expect to talk can be really helpful to have that reliable time. So that's one thing that I really urge families to do, especially prior to freshman year, is think about how often you want to talk, when you're going to do it, in what way you're going to do it, and set those expectations in common.
Yeah. Do you what percentage, I guess, of time that you speak with parents is talking about any mental health issues?
That's interesting. That has grown and grown and grown.
Yep.
When I started at UA, that would have been an unusual conversation. It would have stood out to me. Now, as I mentioned to you before we started, I've had two conversations in the last week with parents whose students are having serious mental health issues right now. And those are not the first that I've had this semester. So I bet at least 10%, maybe it's 20% of conversations that I have include some comment on mental health. And sometimes it's just a general concern about anxiety. Sometimes it's a very serious concern and parents are trying to decide whether their student can finish the year or can finish the semester. And that involves so many consequences, of course, college credit and the money they've spent.
Yes.
And how they're going to recover from, say, a lost semester. So it's just become a much more common thing for students, I think, to come in with some sort of mental health issues of varying severity. And that is something that I end up talking to parents about.
Do students come and talk to you first, or is it really the Office of Parent and Family Programs? It's really more for parents, right? And
right.
what kinds of issues for listeners? Kinds of issues? Why would somebody call your office? I'll say it like that.
Sure. Parent and Family Programs has a parent helpline, and that is to be a resource for anything. It might be a question about finding an airport shuttle because their student's going to the airport
to fly
home.
Yeah.
We had a long conversation with a parent last week who had questions about housing. Their student's a freshman and if they were going to move off campus, what were the resources to look for housing? We get a lot of questions about FERPA and what is it? So it's really anything from very mundane and practical to more serious concerns. But a lot of the time, what we're trying to be for parents is a resource, like parents are for their students. So if a parent just doesn't know where to start, how do I find out XYZ? We can give them the phone number, the website, the office. That may not always be intuitive what student account services does or other names of offices that make sense to us, maybe not to a parent. So we're a resource to, if we don't know the answer to a question, to point you in the right direction, we hope.
You'll find out, hopefully.
Right.
You know, I know students, and you do too, overschedule and don't do a good job of time management. That's a big thing. I think that's a big contributor to the mental health issues sometimes for some students, and definitely for anxiety. But I have talked to parents who don't really understand that. They don't really understand, either they have not attended college themselves, so they don't understand the demand and what the atmosphere and the pressure that students feel. So they don't really appreciate a downtime, you know, and that students sometimes, I have a lot of students who are really, I would label them as perfectionists, and they have a really hard time with relaxing and just scheduling times to where they just don't really do anything and have fun. So how do you encourage a parent to go along with that and it not be, you know, not be, oh, they're not doing, you know, their child's not doing anything, or they're lazy, or, you know what I mean? Or they're, you know, they need to be working on this when really they are working on a lot and they're trying to manage and juggle a lot of different things.
Right. No, I completely agree with you. And I think, you know, the parents who have had successful kids and high achievers.
Right.
Continue to encourage and reward things like an extra visit to the career center or attending a career fair or an extra tutoring session or something that they think will pay off in terms of higher grades or an internship. And the truth is, exercise and sleep and relaxation are going to pay off just as much. And I think we as parents need to praise just as much a student who attends a yoga class as a student who attends an interest session about study abroad.
I know. Yes.
That's really important. And we can help set the tone when we say, I think that's awesome that you went to the rec center, and tell me about that Pilates class, or, you know, have you checked out UREC's intramural teams, things like that, because that's about physical health. That's about mental health. And those are the basis for academic success, right? I think.
Right. I mean, and sometimes, you have parents who, I have students tell me, and they say it just like this, my parents don't believe in mental health. They say it like that, and I know what they mean. They mean their parents are not supportive of counseling. Their parents are not, they don't believe that they are struggling or that they need to go and talk to someone. And, you know, it's taken a lot for that student to come here to the counseling center, and sometimes it's in secret, and their parents never know. How do you talk to parents? Have you had to have that conversation about accepting, you know, that this is a mental health issue, and it, you know, there is help and they can go and get help. It's not a weakness or anything like that. Have you had to talk with parents about communication, basically?
Yes, I have. And I think one thing that's a good baseline for a conversation like that is when I share, you know, in no personal way, but share how many parents I talk to who have contacted me because of a mental health concern. And it's nowhere near as many as you do, but I do talk to a lot. And so sometimes I think a parent just needs to know that this is so common and that it doesn't set their child apart.
Right.
And it's not something odd or unusual. Anxiety, some sort of concern about anxiety, whether it's an actual medical diagnosis that a parent provides, pardon me, or just something that's, I guess, sort of their own intuition or diagnosis has become more and more common. And as I share that and the number of resources on campus, I think it helps parents just to know that this is something a lot of students are confronting and a lot of families. And if you feel it's less unusual, I do think that helps in acceptance.
Have you ever made, I know the answer to this, but because I have, when you talk to parents enough, have you ever made a parent angry?
Yes.
Please do tell. You know, and when I say that, I mean with regards to confronting the parent, because I have had to, you know, I'm in a different role than you are, of course. And so I have had to confront parents about being too intrusive or being, trying to do too much for their child, or even being afraid of their child, letting their child kind of, you know, rule everything. And not really letting their child speak or talk or anything like that. So sometimes I say it as nice as I can, but they get defensive sometimes.
Yes, I think that's true. Because again, as parents, we are all out here trying to do the best for our children. We're not trying to make mistakes. We're not trying to do badly. And it can be hard when someone reminds you that there's another way to do things.
Yes, that's a nice way to put it.
When I'm in a conversation with parents and the student, if we're in the same room, or, you know, more and more, I get put on speakerphone or some sort of joint phone calls. That never used to happen.
Oh.
And now a lot, the parent wants to be part of a conversation. Which is fine as long as it's being led by the student.
Right.
And so in those cases, I direct my questions to the student.
Good.
It doesn't always stop the parent from answering, but I will turn and specifically ask John or Sue or whoever the student is what they think or what they prefer. And that's my best technique in that case, is just to actively engage the student. I think sometimes one of the challenges that I get is I will have parents tell me that they're calling because nobody will help their student, or no one will return a phone call to their student, or no office will deal with the student.
Yeah.
And that is so counter to my experience.
Yes.
Because I always call back a student. I love to have a student contact me. And that's how I find other offices to be. And so that's definitely one where I will challenge a parent who said, well, I have to call because I know you'll take me seriously. I'm going to take your student seriously. Yeah. I'm going to take your student very seriously. And so I have to sometimes affirm those messages of how I'm happy to work, or any office is happy to work with its student.
Yes.
And we will, in fact, do so and don't have to have a parent intervene to take the issue seriously.
Oh, yes. You know, we have, and this is understandable because we're the counseling center, and I don't know if you have this, but we have parents come with their child sometimes to counseling. Mm-hmm. And I'm very careful. It depends on if there's risk factors or not, whether or not I will invite the parent back. And usually I do, but I usually bring the student back first to talk to them, because they might not want, you know, I've had students come back and tell me, I don't want my mom in here.
Right.
You know, and so, listen, Alicia, let's take a quick break. I have forgotten to take a break because Catherine's out sick today, and she usually instructs me when to do that. So let's take a quick break, and when we come back, let's take some email questions. They may be some of the same ones that we're talking about. I'll look at them right now. But you're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show host or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther, and we're talking tonight about how parents can support their students' mental health issues. And my guest is Alicia Brown. Alicia is the Interim Director for Family and Parent Programs. Is it Parent and Family? I got that backwards. Parent and Family Programs. But she's also the Director of Housing Administration. So she... You are very busy. I don't know how you juggle it all. You are talking to a lot of people probably all day long, parents and students who are enrolled, and maybe even students. Do you ever talk to students who are not here yet, but they are anticipating coming, you know, like in the fall of 2023?
Often. That is, I actually may talk to prospective students even more than current students.
Wow. Had no idea.
Yeah, it's because there are so many concerns, and some of them relate directly to some of our topics. I work with students who are seeking approval for an emotional support animal. So when there are questions about that,
yes,
I talk to a lot of students. I, in my housing role, talk to a lot of students about roommates, and that can be concern about roommates, how to find a roommate, if they don't like their roommate. So yes, that leads from before they get here until they're here. So lots of issues that come up even before a student is here. And the same with parents. They're so concerned about a good living situation, a good roommate situation.
Yeah. Safety too.
Safety is huge. In the last couple of years, that has really ballooned as a topic that I get questions about.
I think it's because so many people are not from here. They don't know. They're not even from the state of Alabama, so they can't just come here and visit often, like in-state students can and their parents.
That's right.
I'm looking at one of the email questions, and it's a little more specific, I think, than what we've said. How can parents support their anxious college student who is likely stressed from lack of time management skills without micromanaging them or enabling them?
Sure.
That's a long question.
It is. That's a great question. I think we all know that from a distance, a parent is not going to be able to manage their child's schedule. They are not going to be able to set aside hours for the student to study or work or anything else. So the best thing they can do, I think, is encouragement. Maybe talk them through how you do that and start with things that have to be done. You have to attend class.
Yeah.
I firmly believe you have to attend class. That's how you're going to be successful. Then you have to allot time to study. So I think you can talk to a student about that schedule. And then what's left in your day? Some students have to work for financial reasons. Some want to, and that's a different conversation.
Yes.
Then there's time for friends or clubs. There's time for exercise, as we've talked about. But I would start with helping your student talk through and prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to do? What would you like to do? What would be great if you can fit it in? And there are resources on campus, too, that can help students with study skills and time management. So I would help them be aware of tutoring or the Center for Student Success or other resources that might help a student with time management. But, you know, we as parents from either 5 miles away or 500 miles away can't actually manage their time.
I've had parents ask me. I have had parents. I remember one parent asked me if I would be like her son's alarm clock. Oh yeah.
Whoa.
Oh yeah. You know, and that didn't sit well with me. And you know,
I would change the song. Good grief.
It's almost like, you know, a desperation. Yes. And my philosophy is there's natural consequences. You pick up a cat, you're going to get scratched. If you don't go to class, you're going to fail. Maybe you need to let them do that and
right.
hope that they learn from that if they are motivated to be in school, you know.
Right.
One of the articles, I always read some articles before my show because I like to have a little background of what we're talking about. And one of the articles, it's entitled How to Support a Student Struggling with Their Mental Health. And one of the first things, one of the first headings they talk about is what you just mentioned, listen and encourage open conversations about mental health. I think it's very important for parents to recognize what's going on and bluntly ask their child, how are you doing with managing mm-hmm. your time? How are you doing? Well, tell me how you're managing it. Tell me what you're doing. You know, I think there's a fine line you walk, though, between like nagging and actually letting your child know that you really do care and that they can talk to you. You know?
Right, right. I think it's important to understand that sometimes a student is just venting.
Yeah.
And there are some topics, complaints, questions that probably don't need to be followed up on because it was just, you know, the same way when I come home and have had a terrible day at work, I'm going to quit my job.
Yeah.
And so a student who, you know, has a hard test and maybe texts mom to say, this is the hardest class ever. I can't be a pre-med major. I'm going to have to leave school. Well, that's probably not it. And so you may not need to call them back and talk them out of leaving school because what they really meant was I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I'm
yes.
disappointed. I'm concerned. But you know what? Then they get a B on the test and they're fine.
They move on. I think a lot of parents kind of panic a little bit and think they need to fix it right then.
Yes.
Because they're so, you know, their child is so distressed right then. But you don't have to do that necessarily. You can just kind of sit back, like you said, and listen. And that's another thing that I hope parents will consider is if your child calls you and is in a panic, Refer them to the counseling center. That's a great resource. We are a great resource for parents, you know. But and I think a lot of parents do, to be honest. And we get referrals when students come and fill out the intake. We ask where they were referred from, you know, if they referred themselves or whatever. And a lot will say their mom or dad or their parents. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
That's encouraging. It's
a real step forward that parents see that as a resource.
The next question, I think we might have answered this already. When a parent knows that their child has been assessing mental health resources, how can they start a conversation with their child about their needs without making the child feel that the parent is trying to take over or be intrusive? That's kind of that fine line we were talking about.
Right. And I think a lot of that is wording. Do you raise something with along the lines of, have you thought about calling? Have you looked into? That's different than saying, well, I'll call and make you an appointment.
That's right.
It's different to say, have you thought about making an appointment? Have you looked at the website? Are you aware, honey, that the counseling center offers XYZ? Are you familiar with the Women and Gender Resource Center or all these other great resources? And when you raise it as something a student might do or look into or contact, that is way different than a parent who says, I'm going to make an appointment for you.
Oh,
or
yeah.
I'm going to research this and then tell you what to do. So it's just a different way of approaching the same topic.
A lot of times I have had parents call and ask, how do I approach my child, whatever the topic, you know, whatever the issue is. And I'll always say, you know, have them call me directly, because when people have the name of somebody, sometimes that encourages them or makes them feel a little more relaxed to know a person, you know. But I always ask the parent, have you told your child that you are calling here to talk to me? And it's 50-50 a lot of times, you know. Sometimes they do not want them to know that they've called. But most of the time, they know. The student knows that their mom or dad's calling here. I think they want them to, you know, to kind of feel it out a little bit and get some information about what they need to do.
Right. I would certainly hope parents are talking to them about that, because it shouldn't be secretive or something that should be kept under wraps. It should be talked about, just like if my daughter had a toothache, then I would talk about how to find a dentist. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's the same kind of thing.
There's still that stigma.
Yes.
For some families and for some cultures, there's still that stigma. You know, how can parents help? You said you talked to a lot of parents and students before they even get here. How can parents help prepare their student for the stress of college before they even get here?
Yeah, I think for some families, there's a really idealized version of what college is going to be, right?
Yeah.
All sorts of best friends and homecoming queen and dean's list and all these fun times when sometimes parents talk about college as the best time of their life. And I really encourage families to talk about the things that may go wrong, which is a high achieving high school student may fail a class or may find a class really difficult, may need tutoring, which they never needed.
Yeah.
They may have an image of being best friends with their roommate and staying up late at night talking, and then they find out they don't really gel with their roommate. There are so many ways where, just as for us as adults, we're not going to be the most popular person in the room, and we're going to have challenges, and not everyone is going to like us. And I encourage families to have that conversation ahead of time. What are you going to do if you and your roommate don't get along? What are you going to do if you get a D on a test in that class? What are you going to do to change that situation? And talk about resources so that students know you accept as a parent that not everything's going to be perfect.
That's right.
What are you going to do? because we're not just going to turn around and come home and quit school. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to figure out how to address difficult situations. And I think it's a lot easier to talk about it the previous summer than when they're here.
Oh, yes.
In the middle of it.
Oh, yes. Let's take another short break. And when we come back, I want to talk about what you hear are the most prevalent concerns. I know you've already mentioned roommate situation, and I hear that all the time too. But let's talk about other issues that you hear a lot about. And also, there's another email question. So hang tight. We'll be right back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm BJ Gunther, and we're talking tonight with Alicia Brown. Alicia is the Interim Director for Parent and Family Programs here at the University of Alabama, also the Director of Housing Administration. So, you know, and we're talking, by the way, about how a parent can support their student or their child when they're struggling with mental health issues. And Alicia is the housing director, director of housing administration. I mean, it kind of, for both of your roles right now, it kind of overlaps with roommate issues, doesn't it? All the time. And that is probably, I'm not going to say that's one of the biggest complaints that we hear here. It's a lot of it is they've signed the lease and they can't get out of the lease. And it really, sometimes it really is a bad roommate situation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I've had to intervene as best as I can when it affects somebody's mental health. But a lot of times you have to let them kind of figure out how to work it out on their own and just be a support to them. What are some other, you know, more prevalent concerns, mental health or otherwise, that you hear from parents?
We hear a lot of concern from parents about students not getting involved. And so that's particularly prevalent freshman year. They haven't made friends. They haven't found their place. They haven't fit in. They're sitting, they go to meals alone. They're sitting in their room at night alone. So that concern for friendship and engagement and involvement is very prevalent. And that is a natural thing. First semester of freshman year, lots of students are still trying to find their place and their thing and their people. That is not unusual. I'm sure you hear that too.
All the time. Do you ever talk to parents about the pressures here in college and societal pressures in general? You know, in the article that I mentioned earlier, one of the quotes is, lots of pressure is put on young adults by society to be successful. It's important to let them know that you understand how stressful this can be, even if they don't seem like they're struggling.
Right. Absolutely do. You know, I don't know that we've talked about social media yet, but of course, for us, there's a huge pressure. You know, I think about it. We've just passed Thanksgiving, and I certainly saw on Facebook and Instagram lots of perfect looking Thanksgiving turkeys and meals that did not look like the meal I cooked. And that's just one small example of where social media, I think we know, is often an idealized version of life.
Yes.
And so the students who are putting on Instagram their, you know, perfect date, their perfect football game, their perfect outfit, that's not everyday life. And it can be really important to talk to students about not comparing themselves to that idealized version of college life that they're hearing about or that they're seeing on social media. and helping them to accept that that may not be their life day in and day out. And every outfit is not the perfect outfit. And every hairstyle is not the perfect one. And every date and party is not going to be perfect either.
No, I think, you know, with the kids here now and for a while, it's all they've known. They have not ever known a world without social media. So, and the parents have.
You know, right.
Fortunately, we haven't gotten to that place where the parents only know social media. That's scary right now. But, you know, so they can kind of give an idea of life without social media, which they just, you know, students just look at me like I have lobsters crawling out of my ears when I say stuff like I'm 100 years old.
Right.
Oh, the last email question, it's we've already talked about intrusive or helicopter parents, but how do you talk to students about setting boundaries? Do you ever do that? Do you ever talk to students who have overbearing parents and they don't know what to do about it?
Yeah. That comes up sometimes. I have had parents contact me about what they perceive to be a roommate issue, or they will call me and say, my daughter absolutely has to do a room change. And then I'll contact the student. And she's like, nah, I'm fine.
Yes.
I'm good.
I have done that too.
Yeah, there's different expectations from the student and the parent. And I can only encourage, A, that the student do what they think is right. So because mom thinks you need to do a room change doesn't mean you have to. But you also need to speak up. And if you want to talk about the steps you're taking or how you're trying to improve that roommate relationship or how you're coping in what maybe a couple weeks ago you told your mom was the end of the world, and now you're like, actually, I'm figuring it out.
Yeah.
But you need to articulate that as the student, as the one most involved in this situation. And again, so much comes down to communication, right? For all of us, we have to be able to tell our parents, our student, our friend, our roommate, things that are concerning us, and do it not by text or post-it note or Snapchat or anything.
I know.
But just in a conversation.
A lot of times students will say, you know, I talked to my mom or this, that, and I'll have to clarify, okay, now was this via text?
Mm-hmm.
Was this via email? Or was this literally on the phone or FaceTime or, you know?
Right.
Because it's very important sometimes the way they are talking to each other.
Right.
Because it can be miscommunicated. Yeah. What about, you know, if a parent, we have so many parents who live so far away. And sometimes when we've had students at risk here at the counseling center and their parents are so far away, you know, they can't just hop on a plane and get here or drive here necessarily. What's the best way for parents to help themselves in order to be there for their student when they're worried about them?
Right. That's a hard question, and I understand that because I have been far away from my student, too.
Ooh.
I think parents need to remember that many of the things that are valuable for students and their mental health are valuable for us as parents, and that includes exercise and enough sleep and open communication. And I think it's reasonable for parents to set some expectations of what and when they need to hear from a student to not let their anxiety as parents go through the roof.
Yeah.
So it's the same as if my daughter's on a long drive and I insist she let me know when she gets there. Yeah. I don't need a message at every rest area and bathroom break, but I need to know that she got there. So if you've had issues with your student, then there may be a reasonable expectation that they let you know they got up every morning, or they just check in before going to bed, or you insist on a check-in every couple of days. If you've been concerned, then you can set expectations that let me know you got up.
Yeah.
Let me know you've eaten. Those sorts of things that reassure you as a parent. And, you know, I will say we in housing will and are happy to do wellness checks. Now, Sometimes I've literally heard from a parent who says, I need someone to check on my student because I haven't heard from them in a few hours.
Oh, yeah. No, happened here.
I think that's excessive, but there are certainly situations when you've had a concerning message from a student.
It makes sense. Yes. Yes.
And you do need someone to check on them. And I think that's very reasonable. He hasn't called me this morning, and he usually does.
Oh, my God.
He might be the reason for wellness.
He may not want to call you. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think for students, it's reasonable to expect them to do some things to relieve a parent's anxiety.
Yeah.
And you should have that conversation.
Well, a lot of my students do the 360, Life 360. Whatever you think about that, a lot of my students will say, we're on Life 360, and they really don't have a problem with it. Sometimes they have to set boundaries with their parents, but I think for both parties, it gives a little bit of relief, or a little bit of help in the way that maybe their mom or dad don't panic as much. We're going to take another break, and then we'll come back and hopefully talk about some resources. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Brain Matters.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show host or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
I just have one more question.
Okay.
Do you have any resources for listeners, for parents who are listening, other than your office or my office? Do you have any books, any app, phone apps, any podcast, anything?
I would not necessarily say I have books or podcasts to recommend, but I would encourage parents to become familiar with all of the resources on campus, because those are perhaps going to be the most helpful. Beyond the counseling center for health and mental health, of course, the Student Health Center is a great resource. They do have psychiatrists who are available to students. The Women and Gender Resource Center has important resources. I know that more and more students are coming to campus who have faced substance abuse disorder. And so the Collegiate Recovery Center can be really valuable. And some of these have individual counseling, but also, group meetings that are available for peer support. So I think those are important for parents to know about. Veterans and Military Affairs is a great office and resource for both parents and students.
A good resource for us, and we direct parents a lot of times when we have done all we can do, is to the Office of Student Care and Wellbeing. And I think that's under the umbrella of Dean of Students Office, but Student Care and Wellbeing, they have more leverage with certain academic issues than we do, even at the Counseling Center. So
I referred a parent to that office last week, in fact. So I agree. I think all of those are really helpful. And then I encourage parents to just engage in the same self-care that we've talked about for their students, and to recognize that, this is a change of life for parents as well. And when you're concerned about a student, whether it's for something small or major, you need to be caring for yourself too, so that you can be there to care for your student and to encourage your student.
That's exactly right. Thank you so much for being on the show. I think this is a topic that we need to talk about more and have more resources, just as a podcast or a radio show for parents to kind of get used to the University of Alabama. I think we do a great job here, though, on our campus of catering to parents, mm-hmm. not just students, but also mm-hmm. catering to parents. And I think they feel that when they come here.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're very responsive and supportive, and that there really is an ethos that we want to support the entire family. That's certainly what Parent and Family Programs is about, but I think it's beyond that office and beyond what my small staff do, for sure. And I hope parents feel that.
Definitely. Well, thanks for being on the show. Thanks again. And hopefully down the road, we'll do this again and maybe change it up a little bit. But this is always a great topic to have at least once a year.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. It's great to talk about this.
Don't forget, our shows are recorded and podcasted on the Apple Podcast and audioboom.com, also to voices.ua.edu. You just type in Brain Matters and you'll find some of our past shows. There's also a link to voices.ua.edu on our Counseling Center's website. It's counseling.ua.edu. You can find a lot of resources. I like to give a thank you to everybody who's made the show possible. Not just this semester, but for the last, in January, it'll be 10 years. I can't believe it. Our executive director, Dr. Greg Vanderwall, here at the Counseling Center. Terry Siggers of the Office of Student Media. My production assistant, Catherine Howell. She's not here tonight. Get better, Catherine. We need you back. My colleagues at the Counseling Center and the WVUA staff who help us edit the show. And, of course, my guest tonight, Alicia Brown. Don't forget, this is our last show for the fall semester, but we'll be back in the spring, probably middle of January, when we all get settled back in. Have a great holiday season. I'll see you back here soon. Thanks again for listening to Brain Matters. Good night.
This show is not intended as a substitute for professional counseling. Further, the views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, please contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.